Welcome to Crossbody of Work. My name is Evan.
I am Javier.
We are back with our first proper episode in like 3 weeks. This is very exciting.
You know, it's nice to be back.
It's good to be back.
It's good to be back. You know, no trips this week, unfortunately.
No.
Which means I had a normal work schedule and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
I didn't have anything to look forward to in the weekend. But at least we're doing this.
Yeah, we got the regular week. We got a regular episode, and we're going all the way back to the early 80s this week. We are talking about the Wild Samoans, Afa and Sika.
The fathers of the Uwa.
Yes, they fathered some Uwas. That is a really that's the most accurate way to say it. Is they fathered some Uwas.
You know, I just gotta say it. I believe that Samoa Joe, I believe that Roman Reigns at one point said that the Wild Samoans were the greatest tag team of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Like while I think it was one of those SmackDowns early in the relatively early times of the Bloodline. And after going back and looking through some of these matches, I now think that Roman Reigns is on crack.
We're going to talk about it. Obviously, wrestling in the 80s is different. It's definitely...
All right. We had the Brainbusters in the 80s, blow.
Like, yeah, you know, there's that, and you know, we had some other things. We had like the Sheep Herders, and we had some other like really good tag teams at the time. What they asked the Wild Samoans to do was different, and what they did was very good. Before we dive in to, you know, the father of Roman Reigns as well as the father of Manu, let's do some housekeeping. You should hit subscribe wherever you're listening. Helps the podcast out tremendously. You should share the podcast with a friend. I'm sure you have a friend who likes wrestling because we're not alone. We find each other. You see somebody out in public with wrestling merch on. You're like, hey, did I ever tell you the story? I was walking through my neighborhood and I had a New Day shirt on. And this woman saw me and she was like, oh, the New Day. And I was like, yeah, you're a wrestling fan? She goes, no. And she just turned around and went back in her house. And I was like, the fuck am I supposed to do with this? Okay, what is this?
What?
So anyways, be better than that person and be a wrestling fan and share this podcast with your friends. Also, make sure you hit us up on Twitter or Instagram at Crossbody of Work and tell us who you want to cover as well. We're very receptive to different people to cover, so tell us who you want to cover next. Let's talk about Afa and Sika. Afa Anoa'i, born on an island in Western Samoa, a trust territory that was then administered by New Zealand. His family relocated to San Francisco, California when he was young. And at the age of 17, he enlisted in the U.S. Naval Sea Cadet Corps. That's cool.
Oh.
Yeah, he was in. I don't think he'd have the wild hair when you're a sea cadet. Upon leaving the Corps,
could be natural.
Began training as a wrestler under family relatives Rocky Johnson, which was his cousin, and Peter Maivia, his uncle. He later received some supplementary training from Kurt Von Steger, and then he trained his brother Sika. So Afa trained Sika, and then they formed the Wild Samoans.
I like that.
Yeah. Afa is the father of Samu and Manu, and the grandfather of Lance Anoa'i, and obviously Sika is the father of Rosie and Roman Reigns.
Yes. Shout out. And also shout out to Lance Anoa'i.
I have the Anoa'i family tree up right now. How many other people on this list can you name?
Like without looking?
Without looking at the tree.
I'm not looking at the tree. I have ADHD, so I can easily put that out of mind. All right, well, the Usos.
The Usos are on here, obviously.
Fatu, Rikishi.
Yep.
Jacob Fatu.
Yep.
Have we mentioned him yet? Tamina and her brother.
Yep.
Rock's daughter.
Yeah, Ava Simone Johnson.
Ava, yeah. This gets really difficult really quickly. Is Hikuleo on here? I don't remember if he's Tongan or Simone.
No, Hikuleo's not on here. Also, okay. Tamina's not on this list, which is weird.
Oh.
Yeah,
maybe it's because she's like a cousin
I thought she would be on this list, but she's not.
Oh, well, by marriage, Trinity.
Yep, Naomi's on there.
I raised it the twins. This is hard. Tonga Kid,
yeah.
Umaga. Did I say Roman? Wait, did I ever
well,
say Roman?
Well, Roman, Rosie, we talked about them already.
Oh, Gary Albright?
Gary Albright married in.
Yeah.
And then former WWF champion, big WWF champion.
Oh, Solo?
Well, yeah, that's not the one, but yeah, Solo.
Big WWF.
Big.
Oh, Yokozuna.
Yokozuna, because they're like, hey, that guy, he's Japanese. Very much not Japanese. The Wild Samoans will begin their career in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, in Stu Hart's Stampede Wrestling, because that's where you go. They won the Stampede International Tag Titles on two occasions. They went to Vancouver. 1975, they made their debut in the United States for Big Time Wrestling in Detroit. Spent the majority of the 70s in various NWA territories. In 77 to 79, they made a couple of tours to Japan. Briefly held the IWA World Tag Team Championships in 78 and joined the WWF in 1979. Our first match is the Wild Samoans versus Ivan Putski and Tito Santana for the WWF Tag Team Championships, January 21st, 1980, in what is the Madison Square Garden debut for the Wild Samoans.
Oh, okay. I was like,
not there.
You were about to say their debut. I was like, that does not seem correct. They had run it for years.
But this is the first time the Wild Samoans appear in MSG, which is like the big thing at the time in terms of your WWF run.
Yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense. I mean, it's the big show, you know, like if you're debuting at some random bingo hall in Yonkers, that's not exactly the same thing.
Not the same thing. A couple things I noticed off the hop, they are literally called Samoan 1 and Samoan 2.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah, on the little graphic, it just says Samoan 1, Samoan 2, and they spelled Samoan wrong.
They write Samoan or something?
They wrote Somoan, S-O-M-O-A-N, Somoan.
Samoan.
Samoan.
One thing that I noticed immediately, Ivan Putski.
Can we talk about Ivan Putski?
The most insane build I have ever seen. Bro's arm is bigger than the rest of him.
Ivan Putski is huge. He's huge.
Brother, he's like that one, like, do you remember that one Tom and Jerry, like, little skit slash episode slash, I don't know what to ever call those things, where, like, Jerry takes, like, gets freaking roided up, and he's just, like, suddenly huge, like, jacked to the gills, but he's still a mouse, so he's tiny. That was Ivan Putski.
Putski is listed 5'10", 245.
If he's 5'10", I'm 7'2".
And you can't teach that. Ivan Putski looks like a Harley Race Funko Pop. Like, he looks like he has just been condensed down into his purest form. It is unbelievable to see.
Oh, my God. He looks like if you just took Bob Backlund, put him in the dryer, like, way too many cycles in a row.
Yeah.
And then, like, made him jack to the gills.
If you asked a child to describe what steroids do to your body, this is what they draw.
Ivan Putski is just Dan Ugla.
It's just Dan Ugla. All right, what did you think of the actual in-ring contest?
Vince says he's looking,
he's on commentary.
Afa is a wild-looking creature. Afa is just standing there.
He's just standing there, doing nothing.
He's literally just not, he's not making, it's not even like he's making a face. He's just looking at Putski. Literally looking at him. He's like, he's such a wild looking creature.
Tito Santana is the best wrestler in this match.
Well, I mean, you could say that about most matches that Tito Santana is in.
Correct. But it is not obvious, but it's pretty clear pretty early that Tito is like the best technical person in this match.
Yeah, I mean, Sika accidentally hits Afa. When Putski like breaks out of like a full Nelson. The Samoans have a meeting of the minds and no sell it.
Yeah, this is the Samoan hard head thing, which comes up in every single match.
Yes, except for the last, we'll get to it. The six man tag, they've decided to forget that rule.
Well, no, there's something that trumps them, but we'll talk about that.
Sure. The ref has the John Cena bald spot.
Oh, John.
It's bad.
The bald spot on John was
real bad. Brother, we saw it and we were like not close.
We were in the 100 level. We were in row 25.
Somewhere in that range.
And we could see the bald spot.
Yeah. Like, it was bad, brother. This ref, at least John has the nice slick back hair the way it's looking.
Somehow, this ref does not have the worst hair of any match we see, because we'll fucking get to that. We will get to the worst hair I've seen in a long time.
Interesting. I'm excited for this because I don't remember.
Brother.
Tito. Oh, I think I know.
Yeah,
does this person happen to be French?
Yep.
Tito and Putski start working over Offa's leg, working that thing over. It's like a good 4 minutes of the leg work.
It's a lot of like footholds, leg locks, and some like knees to the inside. Yeah, they start tagging
in and out, literally just to like put or just to wrench the leg a little bit. They at one point, Putski like grabs Offa by the head and slams it down on the mat, and Offa just pops up, no selling it.
They will no sell not just being headbutt, but their head hitting anything.
Anything.
They put all the durability stats on the head, apparently.
It's beautiful.
Let's talk about when Sika finally gets tagged in, because it's a while, and then he finally gets tagged in. He gets some chops. He does some chokes of Putski's.
It's no hot tag, obviously.
It's not a hot tag at all. Headbutts by Sika. A double clothesline by the Wild Samoans with Offa on the apron. So Offa runs the apron, and they double clothesline. The tag to Santana. Offa also in. Gets some headbutts. Sika just gets
so many drop kicks.
Worked in the corner, and then drop kick by Santana. Tito Santana drop kick is pretty good.
It's great.
It's pretty good.
It's great. I like it a lot. It's because he does like a one leg drop kick and then brings the other one in.
Yeah, and then his like a little rainbow, like he does like the little rainbow at the end.
Yes,
where this like he lands softly despite hitting a really hard drop kick, which is nice.
Yeah,
it's what makes Randy Orton's drop kick good.
Yes. And then so Tito is doing that. He's on fire over here. Sika gets on top eventually. And then we get to the finish. He just kind of like lawn darts. Not lawn darts. He like reverse lawn darts, I guess is what you call it. Tito onto the top rope. So he gets crotched and then falls to the outside where he is very quickly counted out.
See, I didn't know if it was count out because this is at the Wild Samoans won. And I was like, I guess they did. But I guess it was weird because I thought he got DQ'd for doing that. But it was a count out. Like they counted quick.
It was a very quick count out.
They don't win the title belts here because they won by count out. They would win their first tag team championships, defeating Santana and Putski on April 12th of that year. So 3 months later, they would win the WWF Tag Team Championships.
Bravo.
Our promo this week is them with the tag titles on July 12th, 1980.
It's them getting roasted by their own manager is what it
Lou is. Lou Albano is their manager and is mean. He is mean.
This is fucked up.
So Lou Albano. Can we talk about Vince being a robot to start this? Vince doing the card rundown is so unnatural because we know what Vince McMahon is like in terms of his gregarious, you know, on-screen personality. Like, let's not talk about the fact that he's an actual literal monster in real life. But as an on-screen personality, we know that he's like bigger and then like larger in life and all the things. But to see him be mild-mannered, fucking Clark Kent here is so weird.
He looks like the nerd who doesn't have a date to prom, but is still going to prom.
Yes. Yeah. But like his mom dresses him in a nice suit and calls him handsome.
Does his hair, gels it down, slicks it a little bit.
Yeah.
It's not. I don't like it. It looks terrible. Also, he's a monster.
also, he's a wolf in sheep's clothing.
Anyways, Lou Albano hops on the mic. He's cutting the promo because the Wild Samoans apparently aren't allowed to speak. Says they're going to take that the Wild Samoans are going to take the Big Apple by storm. They're going to take the belt, the world champions, all that stuff. He says that the Samoans are a throwback to the Neanderthals.
Yeah, weird thing to say. I will say during this whole promo, Offa and Sika are just mugging the camera at different times and walking in front of the camera at different times, which is very funny. I do like that. More people need to fuck up camera shots. I need heel Chad Gable to like walk in front of other people's camera shots now. Just do it. It's funny.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it can't all be actually they're cutting down on production costs or whatever over there. So it may as you know, we may as well get a Bronson Reed cutting in front of a camera shot.
I will. So the other thing is they are hyping up a specific match where it's going to be Offa, Sika and Lou Albano as the their partner against Pat Patterson, Gorilla Monsoon and Andre the Giant. Three legendary names of wrestling. Now,
two really big men and then Pat Patterson.
And Pat Patterson's there, too. Vince calls Lou Albano the weak link of the team, which is fair. And Lou gets really mad and keeps calling himself a technical advisor. He was the original advocate. He was like, no, I'm not the weak link. I'm a technical advisor. I keep these guys on track.
I like Lou Albano. I think he's a really funny promo. And whenever he wrestles, it's freaking hilarious.
Yeah.
I could not have said the second I heard the throwback to the Neanderthals, I was out. Like, I just could not continue listening, bending in like a faithful way.
Did you watch the rest of the promo package and the other guys who show up?
No.
Oh, buddy, let me talk to you. So the main event of this same... Let me talk to you. Yeah. The main event of this show is going to be Bob Backlund defending the WWF Heavyweight Championship against Larry Zbysko.
Ooh.
Bob Backlund comes out, not the crazy Backlund that we know in later years. He has no charisma.
No. Oh, zero.
My God, if he was a spice, he'd be flour. He's going to give it 200%, he says. Says it's going to be the wrestling match of the century for him, yada, yada. He sounds like he's nervous to be there. Larry Legend comes out. Larry Zbysko, the fucking man himself. He is here. Great hair on Larry. Let's talk about that first.
Yeah.
And he says he's got another lesson for Bob. Lesson number three, Bob, be prepared. He goes, I know you're going to give it all kinds of percentages. I really want you to be prepared. I want you to run up and down hills, have all the endurance you can have. I want you to get lots of sleep, Bob. I want you to watch films of me, Bob. And then he goes, you're going to be crying like a baby when I walk out with that belt. And just ends with, be prepared, Bob. It's night and day. The charisma between Bob Backlund and Larry Zbysko. I don't know what the fuck was going on in 1980, why people were cheering for Bob Backlund. Because I saw Larry Legend come out and roast this man for a minute and 35 seconds, and I was like, that is the world heavyweight champion. That is God on earth, Larry Zbysko.
That is the Ric Flair that we have at home.
Yes. You're telling me you're cheering for Bob Backlund?
You fucking losers.
Bob Backlund has all of the, could talk his way out of a paper bag. What are we doing here?
Bob Backlund had to turn into a senile old man in order to get over.
Yes, and a gimmick I still don't fully understand. And I'm sure there are old heads who are listening to this who would just be like, no, you don't understand Bob Backlund. Listen, we also didn't understand Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, your righteous American boy who has zero values other than I try really hard. And, you know, it's Andrew Luck. You know, I like Andrew Luck, good ball player, but Andrew Luck was a charisma vacuum.
It's true. Bob Backlund's a pick me. He's just like, I just try really hard. Oh, well, don't we all?
Where's my hug?
Bob Backlund, where my hug at? All right, we're going to take a break. When we get back, we got some more tag matches for the Wild Samoans. Back from the break, the Wild Samoans reigned as champion for approximately 5 months until they dropped the title to Bob Backlund.
Are you kidding me?
They dropped the titles to Bob Backlund and Pedro Morales, who at the time were WWF World and Intercontinental Champions, respectively, in a 2-3 falls match at Shea Stadium. Is that showdown?
Hey,
now, I would have loved to watch that match. I cannot find it anywhere. But because Bob Backlund was already the reigning WWF champion, and there was a rule to not have double champions, they had to forfeit the tag titles. And so there was a tournament to crown new tag champions, which leads to this. The WWF Tag Team Championship Tournament Final, September 20th, 1980. It is the Wild Samoans versus Rene Goulet and Tony Garea on September 20th, 1980. Remember how I said there was worse hair?
Is it Rene Goulet?
Come on down, Rene Goulet. Okay. Full balding on the top.
Yep.
But keeps all of the volume on the sides.
Talk to him.
He has headphones on made of his own fucking hair.
It's like the motherfucker from the three. What is it? What were the oh, why am I blanking? It's the guy, the ones who like poke each other in the eyes and stuff.
Are you saying he's a oh my God, I want to call him the Three Blind Mice, but no, that's not it. Three Stooges.
He's the one from the Three Stooges with the nose and the hair that's like that. The way that I referred to them, I was like, this is Beavis and Butthead if they were born in Montreal.
Rene Goulet looks like Moses part his fucking head. His hair is just like, let my people go. And it went to both sides.
He looked like Joe Pesci after in Home Alone after little kid got to him. Remember, yeah. He just has the little like, melted bald spot right here.
Rene Goulet looks like he could be mayor of Whoville tomorrow. What did you think of this match?
I thought this was one of the better matches that we see.
Yeah, it's actually pretty good.
But as far as like overall quality, like I don't know, it's just like an early 80s tag match.
Yeah, you know? And the heels don't get a lot of shine, and like they really don't. They get kind of beaten down for most of the match,
which is weird.
It is weird that was the kind of like,
especially considering they're bigger.
They're huge. Like, they're big boys. It's weird that was the way that everything kind of worked for them.
Afa does not want to put on a collar and elbow. Goulet hits a power slam.
Yeah.
Gurea gets into the ring. He tries to put on a abdominal stretch, but Sika gets into the ring and punches him to break it up. Goulet gets back in. He goes for a roll-up. Sika gets in. He breaks it again. He breaks it up.
Yeah.
Then the French dude just... like start putting headlocks, and they keep tagging each other in and out to put the headlock
on. It's a lot of headlocks. I got your head.
Samoans love chops and headbutts.
Yes, there's a headbutt by Sika that frees Afa from a sleeper, and then the headbutt's in the canvas. So they do the thing where they're trying to slam Afa's head into the canvas. He's unfazed. Every time his face pops up, it is very funny. I want to give credit now. Afa and Sika have unbelievable facial expressions.
Afa especially, because he's Afa got, especially. I mean, they both do. Like, they both have the little, like, goatee type thing.
Yeah.
But Afa, like, naturally has this, like, jaw protrusion. Like,
yeah.
That goes, like, a little forward. So it makes him go like this a little bit.
It makes all of his grimaces and all of his smiles really, really expressive. He can really get up there.
I wish my jaw were a little out.
So you can do a little rhinoplasty. You can do a little work. You can get a little work done. Little jaw out.
I think I'll just age. I'll just wait until I'm like 60. It'll probably happen naturally.
I mean, your nose gets bigger, which is rude.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, your nose just like gets a little bigger all the time.
Oh, that's a problem. My nose.
Yeah.
I had this like bad accident when I was in the first grade.
What'd you do? I broke my nose young too. What'd you do?
Oh, so we would play. So gym class, when we would go outside, we would go. This was before my elementary school got that rich neighborhood funding.
Okay.
So we didn't have a like field yet. So we would just like go to the parking lot. And most of the time we'd be playing like kickball and stuff like that. But on today we were playing like, I think it's touch football, like our flag football or something like that. And I catch a go route, and like a beautiful catch. I'm in the first grade, and the fact that I did a freaking over shoulder catch like that was
That's big.
Impressive. But the kid was pretty fast, so he caught up to me and he just like pushed me.
Okay.
From the back. So I fell fucking face first, no protecting myself, onto a parking lot ground, which is just concrete and asphalt. And I basically landed nose first without like protecting myself.
Because you're saving your hands for more over-the-shoulder grabs.
Well, I just caught the ball, so it was like...
You don't want to fumble.
Also, I'm like 6 years old. Like, I don't know what that was. 6, 7, whatever the hell I was. So I'm like, I don't know how to brace. So I'm just like, I just hit the floor. It just happens really quickly, like, because I was trying not to fall. And then I ended up falling. I didn't break my nose, but my nose has just been like a little, like... what's the word? Swollen. It's always looked a little more swollen. Okay.
Do you want the story of me breaking my nose or me accidentally fucking up somebody else's nose?
I want both of them.
Okay. As a child, I watched Superman. I was 3 years
old. The original one?
I don't remember. I think so. I tried to jump from a chair to a couch at my grandmother's house. I missed. I landed nose first on the ground. There was, for a long time, a dark red spot on.
Why did you jump from the chair to the couch? How did Superman inspire that?
Oh, but he could leap tall buildings in a single bound. And I was like, hell yeah, man, I could jump this coffee table. And I couldn't. And I cried less than my grandmother, who thought that she was not going to be allowed to watch me anymore because this happened on her watch. Yeah, I know. Meanwhile, I'm bleeding. I have a broken nose, and I'm like telling my grandma to calm down. So that was fun. In the eighth grade, I jokingly took my friend's crutches. He was on crutches. And I grabbed a soccer ball from my friends who were there. Like, the people were kind of playing soccer. And I, like, deked out one guy. And I was really cool. And I was like, I'm going to go for gold. And I dropped the crutches. I kick a soccer ball. And I did not see a girl was crossing right in front of me. I got her right in the face. Just clean in the nose. Her nose was not broken, but it did bleed. And she did have the, like, bruising from the nose under the eyes. I got her so hard. Probably the hardest I've ever kicked a soccer ball. I hit this poor girl. Sarah, if you're listening, I'm so sorry.
Kevin, what the hell?
Oh, I didn't see her. I just deked out and I saw the net. And I was like, I'm about to fucking score. I'm you know, Ronaldo. Well, so
the fact
baby.
That you have crutches and you did someone is insane.
Yeah, well, I grabbed my buddy's crutches and I deked out my friend. I was like, I gotta finish the play. And then just, yeah.
Yeah, like passing, nunca. I'm freaking done. That don't work for me, brother.
I don't get paid for assists. Anyways, yeah. So Afonseca unfazed.
Unfazed.
Also, Goulet and Correa trade places where the ref was talking to Seca. I'm like, that's a heel move.
Yeah, but they're French, so they're naturally heels.
Enchanté. Shoulder block by Afa, gets a running knee, misses an elbow drop. Seca gets tagged in. He chokes Correa for a little bit. Correa starts, I'm going to put quotes, firing up.
Yeah.
It's fine. Seca tagged in. Sure. Correa's selling headbutts like he's dying. He folds onto the top rope at one point. Really good. It's a really good sell.
It was. Then Goulet gets the hot tag. And we get many drop kicks.
What do you think of the Goulet hot tag?
It was just drop kicks, isn't it?
It was just drop kicks.
Like, don't get me wrong, not terrible looking drop kicks, but it's definitely drop kicks from someone who wrestled in the early 80s, you know?
Yeah, up, down, up, down.
Up, down. And then Seca breaks the pin, and then it just kind of breaks down a little bit.
Yeah.
Gurea's taken out. The Samoans hit a double body slam to Goulet. 1, 2, 3. The Wild Samoans win the match.
I love that the second the Wild Samoans get together and do one tag team move, they win the match. Like,
yeah, well,
you can take one of them at one time, but the second that they hit a move, it's over. Two-time tag team champs. The Wild Samoans actually leave the WWF for a little bit.
Oh.
They went and did a couple little other things. They went to Mid-South in 81 and 82 in Georgia Championship Wrestling. As part of Georgia Championship Wrestling, they beat the Freebirds for the NWA National Tag Team Championship. Another match I could not find. Really wanted to see Freebirds versus the Wild Samoans. Thought that would be a great match to watch. Could not find it. It's always the struggle when we cover older wrestlers is finding
just
the content. I want to
see Terry Gordy.
I do want to see Bam Bam. They were back to the WWF by the end of 82. And then March 8th, 1983, they have a match against Chief J and Jules Strongbow for the WWF Tag Team Championships again. The clip we have says this is March 19th. It is not. This is the March 8th match. Also, all the links for all the matches are in the YouTube description as well as the podcast episode description. Just go to the show notes. You'll see all the links for all the matches. You can find them easily on YouTube or Daily Motion.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes illegal Russian websites. And that's fine.
Or illegal Korean or illegal Japanese or illegal Chinese. It varies. It depends.
It varies.
Those tend to be when I put the episodes in.
Yeah, Javier finds things from the deep corners of the web that give my computer lots of viruses.
Sometimes I find things that are on the third page of Google.
Sometimes you find things that are on porn sites. And it's a weird, specifically whenever we cover Joshi Wrestling.
All right, well,
I'm looking at the Mayu Iwatami
over that. I don't have any control over that.
That's true. What do you think
like
of
I
match?
Knew the website. This was the quickest of any of the matches here.
It's also the
I
most
have
boring.
5 bullet points.
Hit me with the 5 match. Bullet points. Let's talk.
Shout out Chief J Strongbow.
Yep.
Love Chief J Strongbow. That's it. That's the bullet point.
That's a good bullet point. I knew that Chief J Strongbow like was in a tag team with another Strongbow. I had forgotten it until I was looking this up and I was like, oh yeah.
Chief J with a sleeper to Afa, and yep. Seca pulls him out of the ring.
Yeah, Seeker just pulls Afa out. He's like, no, we're not doing this. Not right now.
Afa is very upset about this and being outside that he kind of like fires up a little bit.
Yeah.
The Samoans cut the ring on Jules, who, from the looks of things here, is the significantly lesser Strongbow brother slash sibling slash family member slash just whatever the hell they are supposed to be with each other.
I think that's an
accurate also physique-wise is also an accurate depiction. Yeah. Men's got a lot of sagging going on.
Chief Jay, 6'2", 247.
A tank. And then we get to the finish. Double headbutt to knock Chief Jay out of the ring. Seika hits a Samoan drop to Jules. 1, 2, 3. The Wild Samoans win the match.
Jules is actually listed as bigger than Jay.
I don't believe that. He's listed solitary second.
6'3", 240.
There's no shot he's 3 inches taller than Jay Strongbow.
Not a chance. Couple things I want to mention about this match. One is that Pat Patterson was on commentary.
I was not paying attention to commentary.
I was sitting there and I was like, who is this like French accented voice on commentary? Like, what's and it was Pat Patterson.
My thing is, if I know Vince McMahon's on commentary, I'm not listening.
It's so bad. He's just not good at it. Also, the double chop that I think Seika hits is really good. I love their two-handed chops. I think it's one of my favorite Wild Samoan moves. Obviously, a lot of headbutt content, but I think the chops is my favorite strike they have.
I'm actually kind of upset that we didn't get to see more from them as far as the in-ring stuff, because I feel like there was a lot of potential there.
I think the last match is like the only match where we really see a lot of in-ring stuff for them.
Yeah, which is kind of annoying, because by that point, you know, it's a little later. It's away from the WWF, I think, right?
No, it's WWF still.
Oh, is it? Yeah. Was it in Japan then? That's 100% like a Japanese. Like,
no, it was a WWF thing, so.
Interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I just wish we had gotten to see more. I guess we can talk about that towards the end when we do a full deep dive or a full review on them as workers and stuff. But it's just like this match was really telling. Like, you see a lot of things where you're like, that's fun, that's so good, like, oh, that's good offense, you know, this is a good little tag team spot going here,
good facial expressions,
but you never really see all of that strung together into one specific match. You just get little moments of it throughout all these bad to meh matches.
Yeah, a lot of like things that are fine, and again, for the time, they were a hot draw. The Wild Samoans were a draw, especially as tagged by the 3-time tag team champions.
Yeah. It's which makes sense. Big Samoan guys. How many of those you got running around New York?
Not many is my guess. All right, we're going to take a break. When we get back, we have a 6-man tag that includes Andre the Giant. Back from the break, there was a feud between the Wild Samoans, Rocky Johnson, and Jimmy Snuka. During this feud, they added Afa's son, Samula, to their team. So we have 3 Wild Samoans in this match. First, it was as a replacement for Seika when Seika was injured, and then it was back up on their return. They lost the tag titles that they won in the last match against the Strongbows. They lost them to Rocky Johnson and Tony Atlas on November 15th. This leads to a feud with Rocky Johnson and Tony Atlas that includes this match. It's all 3 Wild Samoans, Afa, Seika, and Samula, versus Rocky Johnson, Tony Atlas, and Andre the Giant, January 23rd, 1984.
Tony Atlas's traps are like a wonder to this planet.
Tony Atlas, huge dude.
Brother, he has no net. His traps are all the way up to here. Yeah. Like, it's just like, imagine you're just a regular person and where my hands are going from finger to from like literally bottom.
Like they
of my
touch
thumb.
Earlobe.
Like legit. And it's like, how are you comfortable? What is your routine? Like, are you only working traps?
Actually, this is a good spot to talk about it. On the podcast, we're going to be having an author on the podcast next week. Brad Balukjian is going to be on the podcast reviewing his book, the six pack, which includes like he went down and he traveled and he met wrestlers are all part of this one card in WWE history. One of the people he talks to in the book is Tony Atlas, and he does workouts with Tony Atlas. And Tony Atlas is like a hell of a workout motivator. He talks about it in the book. It's really cool. Also, nobody I'd be more scared to work out with than Tony Atlas, somebody who's gigantic.
Yes. And who, if you take into account wrestling storytelling, you do not want to see Tony Atlas remove his briefs in the locker room.
This is also true. This is original. How big is Batista's dick?
Yes. Tony Atlas.
Wrestling is all just regurgitated gimmicks over and over again.
Tony Atlas, strong bow. Let's just put it like that.
It's weird to see the Wild Samoans at this point without Captain Lou Albano.
Yes.
I had gotten used to it the whole time.
Used to white man just patrolling on the outside.
Sika does some really good work talking to the crowd while the babyfaces make their way out. He hops on the mic and is just like cutting a promo, but he's not talking in English. And so it's just heat immediately. I love people who are like, I don't understand you, so boo.
Which is so annoying.
I'm glad we're over it now. Like people like Japanese wrestlers can cut promos in Japanese and we'll just read the subtitles and go, okay, cool, what a cool promo.
Well, there's no subtitles in real life.
I know, but there should be. Can we get that? That'd be great. Just like
All right, cool. Either put the chip in or get the freaking Apple Vision.
Google Glass, baby.
Or that. Running crossbody to Samula for a near fall. Andre chops the ever-loving dog shit out of Samula.
I would like to remind people, I'm sure they remember, but, you know, we think about, like, Gunther and his chops and all these, and Big Show chops and all these other big people chops. Andre the Giant's hand was a frying pan. An actual frying pan.
It was about the same size as Kawhi Leonard's hand.
He could hold it to a fire and cook an egg. Okay, and he just smacked.
You do that with a lot of, like my hand. If you put it to a fire, I could probably crack an egg. I just have a normal sized hand.
No, I said cook an egg, not crack an egg. Anybody can crack an egg.
No, cook an egg is what I mean.
You're saying that
how big do you think eggs are, brother? One egg.
I'm saying his hand's tough enough that he could have a flame underneath.
I thought you were saying this because of the size of the hand. I was like, I don't know. I feel like you could take anyone's hand
he could cook like six eggs in the size of his hand. But I thought you were just saying all of a sudden just coming on the air being like, oh yeah, I'm a mutant. I have skin that's impenetrable and I can cook eggs in my hand.
I have no feeling in my hand, so I can actually cook.
What am I? A very unnecessary fear I had as a child is I heard about people who didn't have pain receptors. Have you heard of these people?
Yes, but I haven't heard it like in their entire body, just like specific areas.
So I heard it as like a girl who like had no pain receptors anywhere. Like she just generally could not feel pain. And they're like, yeah, like if she gets a cut on her leg, like she needs to like inspect her legs or whatever, or else she's going to just like bleed out and die. And I'm like 8 when I hear this information for the first time. And I'm like, what if I don't feel pain? And I'm pretty sure I like ran my shoulder into a wall. And I was like, oh, I felt that.
Were you just like, instead of doing that, you could have just like slapped every part of your body just
but
like
instead,
I'm doing now.
I like walked by a door frame and was like, I wonder. Boom!
Strong side.
Yeah, just doing shoulder blocks. So anyways.
Ray loosing a door over there.
Great spot where Rocky and Samula are running the ropes and they're running across from each other. So Rocky's running one way, Samula's running the other way. And Rocky just stops and makes Samula run. By himself.
Yeah. And then Samuel's like, what the fuck?
It's really funny.
It's a good time.
Rocky does a good meeting of the minds for Samuel and Afa. Tony Atlas gets back
here's
in.
Here's the thing. Why did that work?
Because they're two strong Samoan heads.
Yeah, but that has happened before. In the first match we saw, there was a meeting of the minds and they no-sold it.
You're right. we found a logical fallacy in wrestling. I hate that.
How dare they?
It's the worst.
Okay, sorry. So to be fair, Sammy Lou was the one that sold it. Sika did not.
Yeah.
The Samoans then start selling head moves, though, in general.
Yeah.
And I didn't like that. Like, don't like when that happens.
Andre hits a headbutt that knocks a Samoan down. Which means that on the ranking...
Why does that work?
Well, I guess on the ranking, it's like every Samoan head, but above it is Andre, and below it is everybody else.
No, because he hasn't had a match against Umanga.
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 What are your favorite wrestler mispronunciations?
Well, Umanga's number one.
Umanga's number one. Actually, no, it's a lie. It's number two. John Cena is number one for me. I love Santino.
No, it's Umanga for me still. Ooh, that's a good one. I can't think
most
of
the ones I think of are
Santino
or R-Truth. That's the only ones I'm thinking of.
Well, R-Truth just calls people other people's names.
I did love when he called Triple H Tommaso Ciampa. I thought that was very funny.
Remember Tom? What is it? Tom and Ray?
Tom and Nick Mysterio. Yeah. The brothers, Tom and Nick Mysterio.
That was fun. I enjoyed that one a lot. Anyway, Samoans are selling moves. We really get to the finish pretty quickly here because Andre gets involved.
Yeah.
And he gets involved in a pretty controversial way, if you ask me, brother. Wait for it.
Ho.
Because he hits a big boot and follows it up with a leg drop. 1, 2, 3. Andre the Giant wins with Hulk Hogan's moveset.
So the big boot is definitely a big boot. I really think that the leg drop is more of a sit.
That's a leg drop, brother. Were legs dropped?
No, asses dropped.
Were legs...
He dropped it low.
Were legs dropped?
As connected to asses, yes.
Then that's a leg drop, brother.
It was more of a... He stole Yokozuna's move before it was Yokozuna's. That's more of what it looked like. I do like that Atlas and Rocky Johnson run interference on the other Wild Samoans to allow the pin to happen. I thought that was just a good little addition.
Shout out to Rocky. He's just there with his cousins chilling.
Rocky Johnson, the easiest fucking evening, he does the one spot where he makes Sammy look stupid, and he does pretty much nothing else.
He just goes, we're going home, brother.
Great paycheck. All right, our last match, I double-checked, doesn't happen in Japan. It happens in the Philadelphia Spectrum.
But you know what I mean, right? It looks like a... Is it the Philadelphia Spectrum? Did the fucking Philadelphia Spectrum look like Kirk and Hall? Like,
yes, so. The last match here is the Wild Samoans, Afa and Sika, No More Samula, versus Mr. Fuji and Tiger Chung Lee, July 7th, 1984. Fuji and Lee getting boots, so the Samoans are baby faces here, and that's fun.
Are they baby faces because we hate the other guys more? Or are they baby faces because they're baby faces?
I think at this point, they're kind of baby face. Like, that's kind of the way they're being portrayed.
Understandable.
There is, like, a ceremonial thing that Lee and Fuji do before the match. They're kind of, like, cleansing the ring. And then Afa and Sika just testify.
Oh, my brother!
I like to
testify!
This is far and away the longest match of the night.
I also think it's the best match.
It's the best match for sure. If you want to see Afa and Sika show off their bag a little bit more, this is the match.
Fuji's overselling because he's Fuji.
Fuji has some of the best facial expressions in the world. He is a horrendously big overseller. He sells the shit out of everything. It's why he was a good manager. I am very excited to do a Mr. Fuji episode in the future.
Yeah, he's hiding something, which is why he starts like being like, oh, what? He's passing. And then him and Tiger Chung Lee just start passing a little bag of Coke back and forth. Just a little Coke baggie. They're trying not to get caught.
This inspired Now You See Me, like that one scene in the fucking...
Yeah, so with the card.
Yeah, this is that.
It gets to the point where I'm like, all right, guys, it's been like 2 minutes.
It's longer than that. I think in total it takes 3 minutes.
This is like trying to get through TSA without TSA pre-check.
Like, I got through TSA pretty easily. I had a pretty good time.
Yeah, but how many people are flying freaking, what was it, Frontier?
Porter.
That's even worse.
Brother, we still landed in Newark and do the Newark thing. Still had to go through with everybody.
Yeah, but who's going there?
most of what I did, well, I mean, we're just with the other, anybody else who landed in that terminal, who was going to,
it's just not that much
coming in the States. I spent most of my time in the TSA pre-check line, making a baby not cry because the baby was having a bad time. But then I made faces at the baby and the baby had a better time.
That's because, like, damn, this motherfucker ugly as shit. Why am I crying?
That's right. He was like, that looks like the white Abdullah the Butcher. What a fucking, what a face on him. Wow. This dude looks like Jonah Hill if Jonah Hill didn't make any money. Like, that looks awful. You gotta fix him. So, for those of you watching on YouTube, you'll know that Javier is dead. He is completely off screen. I have finally killed him. It took 212 episodes. We're finally here. They try to do the hiding of whatever the foreign object is for forever. They have it where Afa's in with some rights. He makes Lee look up to the sky and then hits him with a two-hand chop. Lee tries it back to Afa. Afa does not get fooled and just chops him down.
I love it.
Good bits.
I love it. Tiger just starts checking in with the ref after each shot from one of the Samoans. Like, he gets punched. He's like, whoa, like, hey.
You can't do that.
Come on, time out here. What are we doing here? Another chop. Oh, hey, brother. Whoa.
And this was supposed to be a debate. Sika in, they're working the left leg of Lee for a while. When Fuji gets in finally, Fuji then works the arm of Sika. Sika uses some headbutts to get free. Fuji with a low blow.
Yeah. That's Fuji for you.
That is Fuji for you.
Afa drops Tiger. Then he just, like, basically he just, like, points to Tiger and he just goes like that.
Yeah.
Which I really appreciated.
Lee gets some free shots while the ref is telling Sika to leave the ring. While the ref's back is turned, Fuji and Lee also trade spaces. Now, so this is two different matches against the Wild Samoans where people
don't
trade
look
spots.
Alike at all.
The Wild Samoans look more similar than both tag teams that did this. And yet the Wild Samoans did not do this.
Exactly. It's annoying.
What are we doing?
Yeah, Afa does a splash to the leg. Sika tags in. He does the same. Big headbutt by Sika.
Yeah.
At one point here. Massive, actually. The crowd hypes up the Samoans. Fuji kicks Afa in the back, which cools up a little bit of a heat up spot that he had going.
Yeah.
Afa does get pissed by the kicks, and he just starts no-selling. He's like, fuck this. Sika eventually tags in, head drop for a near fall, double clothesline, not the double clothesline spot, but both of them hitting a double clothesline on Tiger. Fuji gets into the ring. He misses a flying leg drop, which I thought was interesting, and then sells it in the most comedic way possible, which is essentially as if he had broken his ass.
Yes, he does sell it kind of in an extreme way, but I like it.
Hey, why is there a crack in here?
I gotta replace this ass. It's broken. Lee comes in. We kind of missed the spot. Lee came in and missed a double axe handle. And then Mr. Fuji slapped Tiger Chung Lee, his partner. He just slapped him in the face. Yeah. That's some intense teamwork. Like, if I fuck up a spot in this, I don't want you to smack me. All right? That's not how this works.
I will.
I truly thought the heel turn was coming at WrestleMania. I thought you were going to hit me with a chair.
Yeah, but I couldn't find a good chair.
We were at an ECW show. There were fucking chairs everywhere.
Yeah, but we were kind of tired. It just wasn't happening.
We were kind of tired.
By the way, TNA ran a show. I was looking at TNA stuff from last night's episode or whatever.
Yeah.
They were at the 2300 Arena.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
I was like, I sat there.
I know where that is.
I know where this hard cam is. That's crazy.
Fuji with a snapmare, diving leg drop, nobody home. Afa with a reverse atomic drop, and Fuji sells it facially like he ate the most sour lemon in the world, which is always a good sell. Lee with a scoop slam. Afa gets him off the top rope and tosses him down. Sika in, another headbutt. Chung Lee really needs a tag. What happens?
Fuji moves away from the corner.
Fuji's not having it.
He moves a little down the line.
Yeah.
He can't, and Tiger's dying again. He goes back to the corner to get the tag. Fuji moves a little bit down away.
And then leaves.
He just leaves. Walks away.
We get a double headbutt. The Wild Samoans win. This is a good match.
Yeah, I really like this. This is easily the best match of the week.
Easily the recommendation. It's and the Larry Zbysko promo. Those are the two recommendations this week.
I didn't even watch the Larry Zbysko
promo. Honestly, go do it. You'll thoroughly enjoy yourself.
The best part about this, listen, you know, Mr. Fuji is Mr. Fuji. He's awesome. He always has been. He's a crazy overseller. He's someone that we don't discuss enough in the overselling department. But Tiger Chung Lee was good. I think this might have been the first I've ever seen of Tiger Chung Lee.
I really liked it. Yeah.
I really liked what I saw. Good wrestler. This is the best showcase the Wild Samoans have had. I thought Afa specifically was awesome in this match. Sika's chops were on point, but Afa, just the total package, was just like going out there and doing everything possible to look like $1 million, which he did, and Sika did as well. It's great. Good stuff.
I just looked up Tiger Chung Lee, whose name is also Kim Duck. He wrestled his last match.
Did you say Kim Duck?
Kim Duck. K-I-M-D-U-K. So it could be Kim Duke. But wrestled his last match May 31st, 2022.
Good for him.
Against Jumbo, or at the Jumbo Tsuruta.
I was about to say, it was not against Jumbo Tsuruta.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, that's not written right. No, it was at the Jumbo Tsuruta show in Korakuen Hall. Retired after 54 years. Yeah. He also didn't star, but he was part of The Golden Child, the movie with Eddie Murphy.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he was in that. It was cool. He's also in Cage, starring Lou Ferrigno, and Blind Fury, starring Rutger Hauer. That's cool. That's a cool time. All right, let's talk about the Samoans. So afterward, like, one of the big things that the Wild Samoans did was train a generation of wrestlers. During the late 70s, AFA opened the Wild Samoans Training Center, and I'm going to list off the school's graduates according to Wikipedia. A who's who of wrestlers.
Oh.
Paul Orndorff. The Junkyard Dog. Luna Vachon, Michael P.S. Hayes, Yokozuna, Bam Bam Bigelow, Rikishi, Sherry Martel, Virgil, Billy Kidman, Gene Snitsky, Chris Kanyon, and Batista. A who's who of all corners of Western wrestling. That's crazy. That's
multiple main event, like WrestleMania main events.
Yes, right from there. Multiple like eras.
Wrestlers right there. From multiple eras. That's insane.
Yeah. Orndorff, Yokozuna, Bam Bam, and Batista have all had main events. That's crazy.
That's nuts. I love it.
They also, for a long time, promoted live shows under the WXW banner. Obviously, that has announced recently that they stopped doing shows because of the health of AFA. So that's something that kind of has stopped. But we've seen them a couple times. They were inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame in 2007 on the eve of WrestleMania 23, inducted by their sons Samula and Matt Anoa'i, a.k.a. Rosie.
Shout out.
They came out of retirement to wrestle at age 71 in 2014.
Are they insane?
Well, AFA came out of retirement to wrestle, which is crazy. Right. What did you think going back and looking at the career of the Wild Samoans?
I wish we had gotten more of what we saw in the last match.
Yes.
Or in the pretty much the last three matches than anything. Like, I wish we'd gotten more of that. I'm assuming there is more of that out there, but we just, you know, that's just matches.
Harder to find. Yeah.
Those are probably just matches that have been lost to time with the tape trades and all that jazz.
Yeah.
And maybe just weren't ported to the interwebs. But I'm just hoping that one day they're made available and easy to find, because the Wild Samoans are good, man. They're really, really good. And I made the little remark earlier about me thinking, you know, saying Roman Reigns is insane for calling him the greatest tag team of all time. But like, I see the vision, you know. Yeah. Their overall influence on wrestling as a whole is massive,
is huge compared to others. Because it's one thing to be a successful wrestler; it's another thing to be a successful wrestler with a family lineage. It's another thing to be a successful wrestler with a family lineage and to pass on tons of information and training to other generations. Because you can see, you mentioned earlier, you can see the bits and pieces in all these matches, that they have the facial expressions, they have the moves, they have the psychology, they have all those pieces. They clearly passed that information on to their classes in terms of who they trained, and led to a variety of success. Like, also, AFA and Sika are two people that, whenever brought up in the wrestling world, are brought up with just such reverence. Everyone is like, we respect the hell out of the Wild Samoans. And I think that's a real, to be in the wrestling business for that long and have everybody like you.
Yeah.
That's worth something.
It's just, it's the same thing with all these Samoans. Like, everyone likes the Samoans.
They seem like the coolest people.
They're all just so cool. They're like, just you so, just,
and they're good at wrestling.
Like, Roman Reigns was apparently, like, the locker room leader, like, back in, like, 2015, 16 range, you know? Like, he's just, like, they're all just good dudes who just go. They play football down in Florida, usually.
Yeah.
They love their family. They have a fuck ton of kids.
And they hit super kicks like nobody's business.
But we're not Roman Reigns.
just two boys.
Yeah, just two of them. At each other.
That's true. That was the whole match. I really enjoyed going back and watching the Wild Samoans. I really think everybody should go and watch the last match. I think it's really cool. It's also great to see Mr. Fuji do some really cool stuff.
Yes.
Genuinely, everyone should go watch that Larry Zbyszko promo and immediately cheer for him to be World Heavyweight Champion. All right.
It's not even... is Larry Zbyszko still alive? Yeah, he is. I don't want to have another one of those...
where you killed Lex Luger. Luger
situations.
Go. I don't remember what episode. I don't think it's the Lex Luger episode. I think it's before the Lex Luger
episode. It was before Lex Luger's episode, yeah.
I think it's the Steamboat episode. You kill Lex Luger by thinking he's dead for the entire episode.
Yep.
All right. That's a good time. Next week, like I mentioned, Brad Balugian is going to be on the podcast. We're going to be talking about the Six Pack, a book that we got to read ahead of time. Before it's now out. You should go buy it now. Yes. It's a great fucking read. Probably one of my favorite wrestling reads I've ever had in my life. Really well written. It's a really engaging story. The way he tells the story is great. So that bonus pod and that episode is going to come out on Thursday. But to celebrate the main character of the book, the main wrestler that Brad loves is the Iron Sheik. So next week, Sheiky baby, we're covering the Iron Sheik.
Yes, I'm very excited for that one. You know, it's unfortunate that we lost him last year, but you know, he's just one of the best internet personalities ever. I'm assuming it wasn't him who was tweeting out all that stuff. It was probably one of his kids or someone who was affiliated with him or whatever. But I love to think that it was Sheiky who was sending out all those incredible tweets, especially the fuck you Hulk Hogan ones.
We are very aligned with Khosro on that. We're very aligned with Iron Sheik on that. Fuck Hulk Hogan, you big jabroni. Ah, I miss him. I miss him. I'm very excited to cover his career. Very excited to talk about all of his big accomplishments and what he did. A legendary character in the world of wrestling. Very excited to talk curly pointy boots. Always a big fan. Love those. Big fan
Camel
of
Clutch.
His heel work. Camel Clutch always looked really good. So excited to dive into that after talking with Brad about the Six Pack. You should subscribe to the podcast on YouTube. You should hit subscribe wherever you're listening on all your podcast platforms. Follow the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at Crossbody of Work. Follow Javier wherever he tells you right now.
I'm on the Twitter machine at JMLO Sports. One day I will have a little sign with it.
One day.
Just pull it up.
Follow me on Twitter at It's Evan Gomes, ItsEvanGomes. All right. We already talked about next week being Iron Sheik. So it's time for everyone's favorite part of the podcast. Javier, any final words for the people?
This week on Life Advice with Javier, the advice is to, it's actually kind of serious this week.
Oh, shit.
Because it's something that's like kind of personal to me here.
Okay.
It's an advice that I need to sort of follow myself, which is, you know, if for myself, you know, over the last couple of years, I've let myself go weight wise a little, so like slowly, like a little bit, and it's not like over the top either. I'm very happy with my overall appearance. I'm very healthy, all this other stuff. I go to the gym, I exercise, yada, 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 yada. But there was a point during the, you know, 2021 range where I bought some suits. And I was also like at or near like the lowest weight I'd been at since I was like 12 years old or whatever the hell it was.
Jesus.
Yeah, I was like 175 pounds, which is like concerning. But also like, fuck me. Great. Wish you guys had the videos back then. The kid was looking awesome. But yeah, no, it's like one of those deals. And you know, one of my best friends is getting married in next month. And, you know, for that, I need to be able to wear a suit, obviously.
That's true.
And so one of the suits that I wanted to wear, I'm assuming at my current physical state, I wasn't going to be able to fit in them, because the last time I tried to wear it was around your wedding time period. And even then it was like a little tight around the shoulders. So I'm assuming, you know, it wasn't going to fit. I hadn't tried it, but I was like, all right, here's my goal. My goal is to just lose enough weight or whatever, get my body composition down to the point where I could fit into a suit. I'm not going to hit that goal. Okay. I know I'm not. It's not possible based on, I mean, I went to Puerto Rico a couple weeks ago. Obviously we went to Philadelphia. I wasn't exactly watching what I was eating. I wasn't doing my exercise during that time period.
Yeah.
And that's okay, because you know what? I had so much fun during both of those trips and stuff like that. So I'm compromising. I'm going and I'm buying a new suit that is going to fit me. And my life advice this week is, don't be afraid of failing at a goal. Like, it's not the end all be all. Like, yeah, it sucks, but you'll get there eventually if you just keep at it. If there is a deadline that you had to hit and you missed it, if it's not it's never life or death.
No.
It really never is. Just go and hit the goal eventually. But if it's one of those deals like me where I need a suit for this wedding, just get a suit. There are suits everywhere. You can go anywhere to get a suit. I'm going to Italy at the end of the month. I'll just buy a freaking suit in Italy if I have to.
That sounds baller as hell.
Exactly.
A reminder, you are not supposed to fit clothes. Clothes are supposed to fit you.
Yes. Big thing.
That's okay.
If it doesn't fit.
I don't fit in my baby clothes because I got older, dog. That's the way it goes.
And if it doesn't fit, just let that be a reminder to never buy clothes when you're at your lowest.
That is also true.
Never do that. Never buy expensive clothes.
Expensive
you can buy t-shirts
clothes.
And stuff. Never buy freaking suits.
That's the real advice this week. No, it is. Don't if you can't reach your goal, readjust, reset.
And
try
this
again.
Doesn't have to be like a weight thing. This could be like, hey,
anything.
My goal was to, you know, get this license or get whatever, complete this percentage of a video game or whatever it may have been, save this much money, X amount of things, whatever. Just know that if you don't hit the goal by the time desired, it's not the end of the world. Just keep on keeping on. You'll get there eventually. Don't let time be a stressor for you. I know time is very precious, but we really do have a lot of it.
I just opened Twitter and already there's a live Twitter space and it says, has Cody Rhodes gone stale already? I hate it here and I hate wrestling fans. We'll be back next week to talk about the Iron Sheiky baby. We'll talk to you then.
Whoa!